The time is 10 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, March 19th, 1985.
This interview is with H.B. Teichman. This taping is being produced in Morehead State University's recording studio. The interviewer is June Dobrovich, representing the Heritage Education Commission. H.B., it's nice to have you with us this afternoon. I know your interest in theater goes a long way back, and I'm really interested to know what you did, how did your interest in theater begin, at what age?
I've thought about that, and I can't say when it began, because it seems as though there are almost
forever, huh?
Yes, soon after I was born, when I was a small child, although we were not in a situation or in a place where I had contact with theater, but when I was about 5 years old, mm-hmm. when we moved to Big Stone, South Dakota, and there there was no theater there, we had summer Chautauquas.
Oh, yes.
And that had, occasional plays and entertaining music and mm-hmm. lectures and all that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Did you and your sisters do kind of make-up plays and do things at home, or not that you can?
Oh, not that far back.
Mm-hmm, yeah. mm-hmm. Then from Big Stone, South Dakota, H.B., where did you go from there?
Well, from Big Stone to Aberdeen.
Uh-huh.
That was a bigger town.
Mm-hmm.
It had an opera house and a school there, a mm-hmm. normal school it was then.
Sure.
Who put on, and the public schools, they put mm-hmm. on plays and things.
You went to high school in Aberdeen?
Yes.
Yes.
2 years of high school in Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
And one in Bismarck, and then I finished in Fargo.
Oh, well, you weren't in any place very long, but I'll bet you didn't waste any time getting up on that stage. Were you in plays at that time?
Oh, just a little.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of an introduction, huh?
But I don't know why I was always interested in.
Mm-hmm.
In Aberdeen, there was an opera house where they had road companies came there.
Mm-hmm.
And old man, an old Civil War veteran who lived next to us and used to take me to some of the shows. There were these 10, 20, 30 melodramas.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
The Homespun Heart and the Lighthouse Robbery.
Oh.
And
interesting titles.
Yes.
mm-hmm. And then your family moved to Fargo when you were a senior in high school. Is that right?
I went uh-huh. into the senior year here.
Uh-huh. So when would you say you started playing parts on the stage?
Oh, a little bit in school.
Uh-huh.
I had a small part in the high school class play.
Uh-huh.
And then went to Fargo College. For 4 years after
high school.
When we lived in Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I did some things there, mm-hmm. in the German club and in the class play and things
sure.
like that.
Sure. Uh-huh.
But not a great deal of it, but I was always interested in it. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Well, it apparently answered some kind of a need. What mm-hmm. do you think the theater has done for you? Mm-hmm. I mean, how has it? Obviously, it's given you some satisfaction to
oh,
be a
yes.
part of the theater.
Oh, yes.
What would you say? What kind of needs has it answered for you?
Hmm.
Just perhaps a need to express yourself? Would that?
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you lived in Fargo your entire life then since that time, H.B.?
Well, it has been home base.
Uh-huh. So
you see, my father was a minister.
I see.
But would now be a Methodist minister.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, we lived in parsonages.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason that we, there were a 4-year limit, so we had.
Is that right?
At that time, so that 4 years is about as long as we lived anywhere until later they,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
they relaxed that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why we moved so often.
Is that so?
And that's we never had a home of our own until after my father died.
Mm-hmm.
My mother bought a house in Fargo, an old house, and we...
Were there others in your family, H.B., who were interested in the theater, or only you?
Well, they were all interested in the theater. That's something... my father was a minister, a Methodist minister. And in those days, Methodists...
They were kind of against the theater, weren't they? A little bit?
They were, way back then, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All this tobacco and alcohol and the theater and dancing and card playing.
All those things
were the five deadly sins.
But somehow or other, through all that training, you still managed to cling to your love of the theater.
My parents were both interested in education.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that was cultural or educational, we would call that now,
mm-hmm.
they tried to expose us to it. And it would give it, mm-hmm. like we always, when we lived there at Big Stone where they had Chautauqua, mm-hmm. we attended those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if there were lectures or concerts or anything, they tried to see to it that we took it in.
That was a great advantage for you, wasn't it?
Yes.
So many children don't have parents who feel that way.
Well, in Aberdeen, there were, at that time, it wasn't here the schools all have artist courses.
Mm-hmm.
And in Aberdeen, there were two churches, for I don't know what reason, Presbyterian and another church that ran artist course.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the winter season, we'd have lectures and concerts and things, and they always saw to it and encouraged us to attend those things.
Mm-hmm. Kind of had to make your own fun in those days. Weren't any movie theaters.
By Aberdeen, then they began to be, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did your involvement with our theater here in Fargo-Moorhead, was there nothing between school and the time that you played your first role here on our stage, H.B.?
Oh, yes.
There were things.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, that's what I want to hear about before you started with us. Because, of course, after that, I know a lot about it, but I'm going to ask you about that, too.
Oh, well. I was always interested and wanted to have something to do with the theater, professional theater. And I read about the American Academy of Dramatic Art in New York and wrote to them and had my eye on the school and if I ever were able to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, except what little I did in high school and college, I didn't have any real theater experience or theater
What about what time? What year would this be, H.B.?
Well,
approximately when you started learning about the New York institution.
Well, when I went there was in 1922. That is after World War I and after I'd finished college.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And back from Europe from the war. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that fall, they talked about a shortage of teachers. And for quite a while, whereas there wasn't anything really in my life to put me to the theater, I a teacher I very much liked in high school who taught biology, and I got very much interested in science anyway, and I thought that I would like to teach biology myself, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of had that in mind.
Uh-huh.
At the back of my mind, I was most interested in theater, or that, you know.
And that was first.
But yeah.
Teaching was kind of a possibility.
Yes. But I thought for a while that that was what I was going to do.
Uh-huh.
And then when they said there was a shortage of teachers, I signed up at an agency and I taught 3 years.
Where did you do that? What place?
Oh.
Several places, huh?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So then it would be, this would bring us to about...
North Dakota, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And...
So does this bring us to about 1925 when you thought about going to New York?
About, 1922 was when I went.
Okay.
I couldn't go at teaching. Wasn't paying much, and I wasn't that good a saver anyway, so I didn't save money enough to do anything with from those few years of teaching.
Uh-huh.
And each year I thought, well, maybe next year I'd get ahead a bit. Then when North Dakota paid what they called a soldier's bonus. For those who were in service.
Uh-huh.
And that gave me about $1,500.
Ah, a real nest egg.
And then I wrote to the academy and went.
You were accepted.
What?
You were accepted there to train?
Yes, we are.
That's wonderful. I understand it's very hard to get into the academy these days.
Well, I don't think it is. I went there when the founder, that was founded in 1884,
uh-huh.
The founder, what is his name?
Well, most of us wouldn't know it anyway, but anyway, he was still there, was he?
Oh, yes, he was still there.
Terrific.
That was his last year there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
his name will come to you later as we talk. But anyway.
Franklin Sargent.
There we go.
Franklin
Sargent.
Mm-hmm. He was, he had something to do with the Frohman producers.
Uh-huh.
In New York, and they had, I don't know to what extent if they invested in it or not, but anyway, they had a...
Some sort of a tie-in
a
with
school,
that.
School, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Even before it was the American Academy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Lyceum school or something, and the Lyceum Theater is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Which the Frohmans had.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you go to school there?
Well, a year. There was a junior year and a senior year.
I see.
The senior year was, the junior year had several hundred
in the group.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the senior, if you did well enough, or they wanted to come back for the senior year, and everybody that is almost anywhere, were you asked back?
Mm-hmm. Oh, exciting day, wasn't it?
Well, yes.
Yes.
Well, I was. I was told, you see, by the time I went there, I was 27.
Uh-huh.
And for that sort of thing, you know, they urge you to start young. You should be in your teens or early to very early 20s.
You were considered an old man at that time, huh? Little did they know how long you were going to people this planet.
there were others there, my age. People who came out of best friends, two of them, Brown University. They were university graduates. Mm-hmm. A lot of people went there from
right
college.
Right from college. Yes. Mm-hmm. So now, what did your training there? I mean, you were actually in classes of various types for a year.
Oh yes.
And then did they do productions at the same time?
Oh yes, yes. They were what they called the examination plays. We'd do short plays or an act of this or that kind of plays.
Uh-huh.
One act of a comedy or an act of. Dramatic show.
Reading the whole thing yourself or in groups you would read?
Oh, no. In groups.
Groups.
We had to rehearse and play them.
Ah, mm-hmm.
It wasn't just reading.
Uh-huh. No. Okay.
And I was told I could come back if I wished. Uh-huh. I have the card yet from...
that is your...
It's signed by Mr. By Franklin Sargent.
Well, I...
And he wrote on it, good comedian.
Well, I'd agree with that. well, now then, but you didn't go back the second year.
Well...
Or did you?
If I had had the money to go back...
I was going to
because
say...
that...
It was the money.
It would have taken...
Another $1,500,
huh? Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you ran out of cash and you... That was it, huh?
Well, I stayed in New York there weren't so many in that big class who got a job right away.
Uh-huh.
And I was very fortunate.
Oh.
That summer we were living, a group of us who were in the class together, the students, had an apartment together. And, you'd go around to the offices and ask, you know, and be told,
sure,
nothing today, we're not casting.
Casting offices, yes.
Yes. But someone told me they were casting, the Wagonals and Kemper were casting for road companies of The Bat, which was a very successful mystery play that ran quite a while in New York. Mm-hmm. And then they had about five or six companies on the road for several years after that.
Mm-hmm.
A Western company, a Coast company, a City company, a New England company, a Southern company, and I was cast as the Western company.
Mm-hmm.
So I came and played out here.
You played near Fargo?
I played at the Orpheum in Fargo.
In the Orpheum Theater.
Yes.
Well.
And in Aberdeen, I played where I had gone to high school. And in, Hortonville, which is right next to Big Stone there.
Yes.
There I played. So I really played in
all your old hometowns. Well, how did your family take this? Were they? I'm sure they were very proud.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, they were all there to see it.
Oh, I can imagine. Yes. Well, wasn't that exciting? Uh huh. So after that show, you went back to New York?
Yes.
Uh huh.
And then, as the bank account, what there was, was running out.
Uh-huh.
Then I'd do anything to
get a little money so that you could stay in New York.
To stay there.
Uh-huh.
And these friends of mine that I lived with, one of them, became well known later, radio and TV, Herb Butterfield.
Herb Butterfield. I've heard that name, you bet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. He played on the Halls of Ivy and a number of radio and TV shows after that. Well, anyway, I don't know how I got on to him now.
Well, he was one of the men you lived with and worked with at that time.
Well, he got into something then, some part in a New York show.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to the theater where I heard they were casting, mm-hmm. and they had me read the part, and I told them I should come to their office next week. They made an appointment. When I came there, well, then they offered me the part in the Western Company.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I signed up then, but that would be for the fall, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I began to take odd jobs. I worked there. New York was full of orange drink stands.
Mm-hmm.
There were dozens of them right around Times Square, and then that... all over the place, you know.
I bet it was hard for you to save money, because I bet you wanted to see every play on Broadway, didn't you?
Well, I lived there for 6 years then.
Mm-hmm.
I worked nights I took night jobs, because that would give me my days. I could still go to the offices, you know, for casting, but I would get so sick and tired of that when getting no response.
Mm-hmm.
But I just gorged on plays, concerts, opera, and kept going by working on these drink stands or night auditing at the hotels, night jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these friends of mine,
mm-hmm.
The year after I was with the Bat, when I was working at the Roosevelt Hotel as night timekeeper, they told me about, this one, a friend, Ned Porter, had a home in Maine, and they spent their summers in Maine,
mm-hmm.
and they got in touch with somebody there. There was a little repertory company which played the little towns up in Maine,
mm-hmm.
and that was where somebody had taken it over. It wasn't doing very well, but anyway, they took over from him then, and they asked me to come up there, and we rehearsed a silly comedy and a kind of a dramatic show. It was no great shakes as plays,
mm-hmm.
but
gave you experience.
I went up that, yeah, it was always experience. I went up that fall then, and it was beautiful. Country, beautiful nice. Scenery,
mm-hmm.
and interesting people and interesting towns.
Mm-hmm.
So we played going around to the
provinces,
towns,
huh?
Yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. playing these plays.
Uh-huh. So your experience then in New York and its environs were in those years, probably between the time you were, what, 27, 28, 33,
yes.
4, 5, something mm-hmm. like that. Then when you had to leave New York after 6 years,
well,
or am I hurrying you? I don't want to now. Is there more we should hear about your experiences in New York?
No, except that I was going to the theater, movies too,
uh-huh.
and theater, plays and musicals, now and then an opera,
mm-hmm.
concerts.
That was the life, huh?
Yes.
Great, wonderful.
And I just got out of the habit of going to offices and looking
mm-hmm.
for a job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just gorged on seeing plays.
Mm-hmm.
Know,
wonderful.
Which didn't get me anywhere
personally.
As a career.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. but I... Mm-hmm. certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, then I guess what I want to try to do now is, I don't want to hurry you, but I want to get to our own oh. Fargo Moorhead Community Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard your name for many, many years, long before I got to know you through the theater, HB, and your family. What did you do here in Fargo then? After you came back, did you?
I came back just when I did,
mm-hmm.
because that was Depression time.
Sure.
And the Depression hit the cities and...
Mm-hmm. No jobs to be had.
More, yeah. You
know, sure.
No, there were all kinds of... lots of...
People jumping out of windows and all that kind of thing. Here, at least, we had our vegetable gardens to keep us alive, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now... I know you know that the Fargo-Moorhead Community Theater didn't start until 1946, and so there had to be some years in between mm-hmm. there where perhaps you were kind of fallow. No. You didn't have an opportunity to be in plays much, probably. Is that right?
I came out here, yes, when even the poor jobs or these makeshifts that I used in between there mm-hmm. to keep me going,
mm-hmm.
when those were drying up too, I mean, it wasn't even easy to get that kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
So I came out here thinking I'd stay until...
Things are better, huh?
Until, yes,
yeah.
Conditions
mm-hmm.
were a little better, maybe 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd go back east again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got... home here, and my home,
mm-hmm.
which I had rather deserted for all those years,
mm-hmm.
that was still here,
mm-hmm.
and I got interested in the home, and mm-hmm. Gardens and campus gardens, or mm-hmm. Fargo College campus gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Got interested in gardening,
mm-hmm.
and well, I did. Jobs here were but getting scarce then too.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
But I did get a job at Northern School Supply,
mm-hmm.
and stayed there about 3 years.
Is that right? Now, see, that's something I didn't know about you. I didn't know where you had worked that many years. That's a long time, 30 years,
yeah.
I should say. But in this time in between, until 1946, when the community theater began,
mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say that there really was no place for you to act,
no.
to do things? I mean... the opening of the theater, in other words, was filled a need. I mean, something that you had been wanting to do and that there was no opportunity
yes.
for you to do.
Well, and at that time, my mother wasn't well. She the first wife, she wasn't really bedridden to begin with.
No.
But... Just the last years, but I got so interested in the house and
mm-hmm.
Keeping up the house and the garden and all that sort of, and while I in a way missed the flesh pots of Egypt, the theater in New York.
Sure,
I wasn't.
Your life was
I
busy.
Wasn't unhappy. I
no.
mean, I didn't. Fret or fuss about it.
No. You had responsibilities here.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
I hoped mm-hmm. to go back sometime.
Yes.
And
did you ever go back? I mean, even for a short time. I mean, you've been back many times?
Well, many years. I've been back many times, but not
to stay.
Not to go into the theater. Well, I'd go to...
See
I had friends in New Jersey, and some of these friends were still around New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go visit friends, and my 2 week vacation
mm-hmm.
would see as many plays as I could work in.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. then my youngest sister,
mm-hmm.
Ruth, was by that time. That was one thing. She was very close to me. We got along so well,
mm-hmm.
and I had always hoped that sometime we could. Live in New York together,
mm-hmm.
and it never happened while I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to go back and visit after she lived there.
Oh, she lived there.
And later is yeah. She
oh.
She went into campfire work. She was a musician and did her life was music for before that.
Mm-hmm.
But she somebody in campfire talked to her and do it going into campfire work, and she did that.
Mm-hmm.
She was an executive in Minneapolis and Fort Worth and in Fargo at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went to the campfire headquarters in New York.
Well, this was wonderful for you. It gave you an opportunity to visit.
I go visit her there, and
uh-huh.
I get into town and go around and pick up as many theater tickets as I could.
Uh-huh.
She couldn't spend all her time in the theater like I could, you know. But
well, this sounds exciting. You really have soaked up an awful lot of theater in your time, whether it was behind the footlights or in front of them. Yes. But I'd like to bring this down now to 1946, when our theater opened. And I know you were probably instantly drawn to the fact that we were going to have a theater, maybe never imagining, as I never imagined, that we would still be going strong in 1985 as we are. But at that time, in those first years, do you remember the first play, HB, that you played in?
I didn't immediately get into the theater, because at that time, I was working. I had a job then.
Daytime job.
Mm-hmm. And
responsibilities at home?
At home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that I didn't feel that I could give
the
time to it,
mm-hmm.
rehearsing and all that sort of thing, beside my job.
Sure. So what's the first?
It is a number of years.
Doesn't necessarily have to be chronological.
No.
I mean, just
no.
What?
But it was.
You don't remember offhand about.
Yes. I was in.
Marvin Hannibal still here? At that time that you started?
Oh, yeah.
Was he the director?
No.
You didn't do anything under Marvin Hannibal?
No, I saw the plays.
Yes.
I saw all of the plays.
Oh, yeah. From the beginning.
From the day, yes.
Uh-huh.
But it is after,
Barbara Oliver's time?
It was. I knew her too.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Who was? I played my first.
What was the first play?
I went to a tryout
hard to remember, isn't it? It's a long time ago.
No, the first play was it.
The first play that we did?
Yeah.
My Sister Eileen?
My Sister Eileen.
Oh.
I went to
the tryouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not seeking if there was maybe a small part
that you could play.
I would be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Bishop was there. He and I read the same part, and he got it.
Oh, he got it. Oh, that I remember it was the custodian in the building, wasn't it, that he played?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, too.
He sent a letter on to the mayor.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, Don was busy both backstage and on stage and in front of stage. Administratively, he was certainly one of the great moving forces of our theater in that time. Well, what was the first play that you did actually take part in then, HB? Do you remember what some of the parts were?
Detective story.
Detective.
That was Ed Bigelow.
Oh, yes.
Was the director
then.
Yes. Uh-huh. And Detective Story.
Uh-huh, that was the first. Yes. Well, I know that was the first of many parts that you played.
It wasn't a big part, but it was a good part.
Good part.
And got very good notices.
Yes, every play you ever were in, you got good notices because you are certainly a character.
I was encouraged by that.
Yes.
And from then on, I went to. My mother died in 1954.
Uh huh.
And while I was still working, but there wasn't the pressure at home anymore. Of being
on duty at night,
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that I was free to attend rehearsals and attend tryouts.
So from then on,
I was in
loads of them.
30 plays, lots of.
How many? 20, 30? Do you think that many?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh golly. Oh, well, yes.
Lots of them were walkers
small parts.
Small
sure.
Parts.
Yes. Well, you're a character actor.
Yes.
Would you say? I mean, explain what I think I'm trying to say when I say a character actor.
Yes. In fact, while. What's his name again?
Let's see now. You're not talking about the one
Academy.
That's here now?
No.
Oh, the Academy. Oh, yes, you did tell me. I've forgotten, too.
Oh.
Whatever his name was, the president of the Academy.
Yes. Who wrote on that ticket that I still have, good comedian.
Mm-hmm.
But after the examination plays, we played in about half a dozen plays then at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd get your, the various, from the faculty, you know, the different makeup and
appraisals of whatever you did, kind of a report
members.
Card.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They
felt your strong suit.
They said, I could come back next year, but because I was not a kid anymore, I was getting along. If I were able to and wanted to, I could come back next year.
Mm-hmm.
But they urged me to go ahead and try to make it without coming back for the senior year.
Because they realized you were financially strapped and not really in position to continue with the second year. And they felt you'd done well enough your first year to try to get employment. Yes,
They said broad comedy along the lines even of the grotesque.
Did you have a favorite role, HB? I mean, anything that you enjoyed playing more than anything else?
Through all these
years
now?
Yeah. Can you think of one that kind of stands out, or one or two that?
Well, my biggest role
was
Grandpa in You Can't Take It With You.
Yes.
But it was the most rehearsing and memorizing, and I remember I wasn't getting any younger.
I was going to say.
And it was difficult to, that was the, I had friends who were actors in stock companies, and for instance, they'd have to learn a part. They'd be rehearsing one play while they played another, rehearsing for the next week. And they'd have to, because they were usually cut versions, they didn't have as long parts, but they'd have to be a quick study and to learn the part. I took a lot of learning, a lot of rehearsal at home. I'd have somebody
asking your lines all the time. But I remember you in that play, and I suppose I had a particular interest because when I was in college, I played Alice in You Can't Take It With You. And you know who was
the writer?
No, Alice was the.
Thought you were writing her.
No, Alice was the young daughter. You know,
the dancer,
the romantic. No, not the dancer. The romantic lead.
Yes,
it wasn't
yes.
a big part, but it was. And you know, in that play, interestingly enough, this was when I was at the little country theater when I was at NDSU. Oh, yeah. Roy Peterson played Grandpa.
Who?
Roy Peterson, one of our city fathers. Now you know Roy Peterson. We always say we trod the boards together.
Grandpa.
He played Grandpa. Oh. So that's an interesting play for me. It always is when you've played in it yourself. Well, that was your largest
that was
part.
A big part.
Uh huh.
But one of the parts that I enjoyed the most doing would be the small parts that didn't have a lot of lines to learn or, you know, a lot of memorizing to do. But like in the play that Dustin Farnham directed.
Hoffman, yes.
Dustin Hoffman.
Yes,
That's who I remember his name because of Dustin Farnham, yeah.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman directed, in which I was on stage almost all evening. So I had to be any good or I had to be in character.
Yes.
But
you weren't hampered by all those lines.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Well,
so
now
I really enjoyed that. I was playing the part every minute of the evening.
Sure.
But without any worries about you know, what was coming.
Well,
next.
Was that in the middle '60s? I think I did not see his plays, and that was during the time we were having guest directors, and I think that I was away with that other war, not the Second World War, but that other war. With Korean or whatever.
Oh.
But anyway, I was following my husband around from camp to camp at that time, and I didn't see Dustin Hoffman's productions. But you were lucky enough to be directed by him.
Oh, yes.
And of course, he was in his infancy then. He.
Yes. He just came out here as a sort of fill-in to get some experience.
Right. Uh-huh.
Although he told...
The present director, Marty?
No.
No?
The drug man.
Oh, George Nassif.
George Nassif.
Mm-hmm.
Who's right up near the Fargo there.
Yes.
And he pointed to the Fargo marquee and as it said, his name
was going to be in lights.
Was going to be up there.
Well, he prophesied.
And within a couple of years it was.
Yes.
That is, I think, probably the... Uh-huh. The Graduate, the drugstore cowboy, or The Graduate.
Yes, that's the first thing I saw him.
One of his first plays, and here's the area's name. It was.
Well, he's done mighty well. Well, HB, I think that those of us who love the theater, and certainly I think the two of us could both say that, for us there are not only some high moments, but... There is something about the theater that we get something from. It's difficult to describe, but it is some sort of repayment for the work that's involved. What is it that we feel so much when this gets in our blood? What is it that we get back? What kind of satisfaction would you say it's been for you?
Well, it's true that there are people in the theater, and there have been many who are show-offs, you know, being show-offs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always timid.
Mm-hmm. So,
way back as, the first times in school or anything. If I had something to do and I once got started doing it, if you get started playing a part,
you could forget, couldn't you?
Forget yourself and not be self-conscious, and you play it. You know, I've heard that about so many famous actresses and actors who are stage shy or...
They're shy off stage, but on stage they can be many different people, play so many different parts.
Yes, while they're playing the part, they can, but before they go on.
But it's got to be a confidence builder. these public successes. You finally realize that you can do these things.
Yeah.
And for some people, they're just shy about public appearances all their life. Yes. In your then many years of following the community theater, you know that the theater does something for the community, and certainly the community does something for the theater. It's pretty hard to divide the two. We're called a community theater. And over these years, you have got to have had impressions of people who kind of stand out for you in terms of service to our community through community theater. Who are some of the people that you think of as being kind of the movers and shakers in our theater, in that are community members? I'm not speaking now of directors.
Well, you're one of them.
Well, thank you very much. But aside from the two of us, who are, of course, in our own opinions, very great, who else is there, HB?
Well, there is one who did a lot here, and that was John Tilton.
John Tilton, yes, you bet.
And for as long as he was here, he wasn't here very long, was Ed Bigelow.
Yes.
He did a lot for the theater.
Now, they were both directors, H.B.
Yes.
I guess I'm thinking, and of course, and certainly in John's case, he became a member of our community because he worked in other places after he was a theater director here. But I guess I'm thinking of, you know, your neighbor and mine, the kind of people that, as you had a love for theater, played lots of parts, could be called upon to do anything in the theater. Are there some names that kind of stand out for you? It's hard to remember. There's so many, aren't there? Yes. Well, we'll just skip by that. Do you feel the community supports the theater pretty well?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I think so. You feel that there's been lots of community support. Well, it's I think that we can say that our community theater is probably not only just outstanding all over the United States and a good example of what can be done, but also is one of the stronger arts groups in the two cities. And I guess we owe that to dozens and dozens and dozens of people who, like yourself, have tirelessly given of their time and their energies to help get this thing going. And there is no question that it's going, I think. I understand you go down quite often and talk to present staff. You keep your interest.
Oh, yes. When I go downtown, I usually just stop in there.
Say hello.
Yeah, oh, yes.
I would like whoever listens to this tape in the future to know that Mr. Teichman will be 89 his next birthday. Is that correct?
Oh, no. He was 89 on his last birthday.
On his last birthday. You're going to have your 90th.
Next December, yes.
I think we're going to have to celebrate that somehow. Well, it's you've had a long and colorful life in the theater. Is there any other experience or any other thing you'd like to tell me about?
Well, I thought of one thing in connection with it. As to your feelings are on stage, or what you enjoy about it. There was a part I played in Of Mice and Men. Well, it was. It wasn't a bit part. It was a
good-sized
part, but but it wasn't a, what you call a lead or anything. It was just a character part. But that stands out in my mind because it's one of the things that you feel or that you enjoy doing in the theater, mm-hmm. which emphasized itself to me in that part. He's a crippled, he lost one hand and just kind of works around the stables there in this place. Mm-hmm. And he has an old dog that they're trying to get him to do away with, you know. He can't quite do it. And then the scene in which they try to convince him to get away with this dog, mm-hmm. and there were hardly any lines, that is, I didn't, mm-hmm. at that time, I had lines in the play later, but at that time, it is mostly, I was appealing to one or the other of them, mostly by looks.
Mm-hmm. So you were...
Help me, you know.
Yes, you were, in other words, body action is
yes.
so important in acting,
but,
and facial
yes.
expression.
But, and in that, what it stands out in my mind, because it wasn't spectacular, it wasn't what people would call acting, you know.
Well,
not,
yes,
it
lines
really was. Well, it was, yes, but mm-hmm. that I felt
exactly what that man was meant to feel.
No, but as an actor, I was holding the audience.
You could feel your audience.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Schaff, who was the...
critic at that time.
Yes, mm-hmm. he mm-hmm. said, the scene in which...
H.B.
They were
yep.
always trying, you know what, this mm-hmm. the scene's about his dog. Mm-hmm. Was the highlight of the evening.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now that's great. Yeah.
But that.
Yes. When you can feel that, you know.
More than in some of the more
important parts.
Yes.
That was really, in a sense, your high point, actually, in a sense.
Yes.
Not just because of what the critic said, but of how you felt. The audience when you were playing mm-hmm. the part.
Yes.
That's
that
theater.
Went on quite a while.
Uh-huh.
It could have been rushed, it could have been held even longer, but...
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You don't remember in those days how many performances we were playing. 8, 10, something like that?
Oh, half a dozen, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's certainly varied over the years.
Not as many as they do now.
Uh-huh. Do you remember, H.B., who was the director of Mice and Men? We've had so many that I don't. Maybe you can't remember that. But
well, it's in my book.
Sure. Yeah.
I just thought offhand,
if you remembered, it might be interesting for us to know. I think the theater's got a long ways to go, perhaps, but we've come a long ways. Haven't we?
Yes.
Yes, and I've certainly been pleased and honored to be a part of it, and to have known you. And I know you're as pleased to have been a part of the growth of the theater as I have. I certainly want to thank you for coming out and talking to me today, HB. I have enjoyed hearing about your time in New York. I had heard that. You did go to the Academy, and I never have had the opportunity to talk mm-hmm. with you about it, and it's been very interesting. Thanks an awfully lot.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. You got something more you'd like to say?
Well.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
When we were talking about the Academy, in my own class,
mm-hmm.
Well, there were a number of people who became well known mm-hmm. after that. Well, Pat O'Brien was in my class.
Oh, was he?
And his roommate, who was there in school and that I saw there all the time, was Spencer Tracy.
Oh, for goodness sake. Well, this is interesting information.
Spencer Tracy, yes. He was, well, he's probably the widest known or the best known of any student they ever had.
Yes. There,
at that time, well, and through the years since, I've been amazed the programs nowadays have little bits of it like our program does.
Mm-hmm.
They have for some years now. Years ago, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about the
principal people
ones,
that what they done. And
yes, well, yes. A little resume or something about them.
Yes, that's very interesting, I think, when you go to the theater and you can see what experience these kids have had, or if perhaps this is their very first part, mm-hmm. and it helps you mm-hmm. to evaluate them and think, hey, we've got a comer here, we're mm-hmm. going to see a lot of good things come from this particular actor. Yes, I think that is a wonderful addition that we have now to our programs. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope I haven't hurried you. I hope that there aren't lots of other little goodies that you've got there that I haven't...
Well, from what you said the other day, I thought you would better talk more, you know, about the community theater.
Yes, and we certainly can do that, too. If I'm not imposing on your time, we don't have any time limit, we can keep on talking. You did mention... A number of the parts you played. Are there some others that you can think of that you could? I know you said you've played in a lot of things. It's hard to remember, isn't it? Just off the cuff.
Well, a comedy part that I played that I enjoyed doing.
Uh huh.
Well, it didn't get such a big bonus or anything, and mm-hmm. I was in The White Sheep of the Family.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
The absent-minded vicar
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm. Did they typecast you?
Huh?
They typecast you. I bet you could think about a lot of things that things that maybe you remembered from your father's day. Little mannerisms, perhaps? That
oh.
No?
Oh, well, not that directly.
Mm. But I suppose we're a part of everybody we mm-hmm. know, so we certainly mm-hmm. draw on characterizations
and
in that way.
Bigelow was here. I had a little part in The Millionaires.
Uh-huh.
That was very Shaw, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
that was a small part, but I.
Mm-hmm.
I
what was your swan song? Or haven't you done that yet? Are you still going to be in another play for us?
Marty has been talking about it for the last year. I don't know if he'll ever get me there before I drop or not. But he wanted me to take a part, mm-hmm. but the part itself, I mean, didn't. Or the player, it didn't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't particularly care to make the effort to mm-hmm. go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, yes, I would if he finds a small part.
Three or four liner yeah. that you think you could handle, mm-hmm. and it would be fun to see you again. I hope that happens.
Yes, he still talks about it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, it's got to be a play that suits and a part mm-hmm. that is right for you, but I hope that happens. I'd enjoy seeing you.
The longer more time goes by, the older I am, and the more difficult part it is to find a part.
A part. Mm-hmm.
Because there aren't so many mm-hmm. parts for short parts
for the
older people.
That's right. Uh-huh. we won't give up hoping to see you in the future sometime, HB, and thanks just a lot for